Hey there, and welcome to episode 91 of Cast Reflect. I'm your host, Josh, and I'm joined again by both of them. Connell made it back from Canada.
The gruesome twosome.
He's here, the myth, the legend.
How do?
And Adam Smith.
Hello, mate.
That's the disaster of an intro. It's weird doing it with three. Can't do it anymore. But again, it's just, we're professionals, mate, so we just crack on, don't we?
Consummate.
Nothing but.
How have you been? Con, how have you been, mate? I feel like I haven't actually seen your face in
I've been busy. Yeah, I've been to Canada twice.
Yeah.
It's good. Then I got ill. So
it's not good.
I was absolutely fucked for a while. Gave me a lot of time to play video games. Canada was amazing. Went snowboarding a couple of times.
Seen that? Were you good at it?
I was all right.
I bet you were.
Modest. Modest. Yeah, I just beat everyone's high score.
Was it Sean White's like 1080? Sean White's pro snowboarding.
It's double hard, mate. And I'm not fucking young anymore. Like, going when you're learning, right, 90% of the time, you're just in like a brace position because you're sort of braking on your heel edge or your toe edge.
Right.
Because you don't want to go too fast and just fucking fly down
fly off the edge.
But that means you're basically squatting the whole time, like fully tensed.
Doing
a whole day of that. I woke up the next morning. I couldn't fucking move, mate.
Hammy's gone.
Boys on fire.
Not even the hammies, mate. It was all gone. The whole thing was gone. Felt like I'd been hit by a truck.
Because you're sort of clipped in, aren't you? Like completely clipped in. Because I've skied before, but I've never snowboarded. So, I don't know. I just feel like I'd be so paranoid of just like tumbling, all connected, just full on. Just
yeah,
like
face plant into a tree.
I fell over like 100 times.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Was it fun, though?
Cross country skiing as well. That was really good.
Yeah.
Were
you better at skiing or snowboarding?
Snowboarding, I think.
Yeah. Really? Because that's supposed to be harder, isn't it? Snowboarding.
Yeah.
I've skateboarded, though, haven't I, most of my life?
Yeah. So. Just make light work of it, don't you? Make light work of it.
It didn't feel like light work, mate.
Not the day after, mate. When you had to go wheel around.
Led to me terror. Yes, then came back, was home for like 5 days, 4 days, something like that. And then went back to Canada, but to Montreal instead. And that was just for work. I was there for a week.
So one was for work, one was for pleasure.
Pleasure.
me and Adam, we were querying this in the last episode. I don't know if you heard it, but
I did.
Did you plan to go on holiday to Canada for pleasure, and then you got back, and then work told you you need to go back to Canada, or did you already know you were going back to Canada for party?
I found out just before I went to Canada.
Right. Okay.
So I went with the knowledge that I was
not
going.
Knowing.
But you booked the flights by then. I feel like they've stitched you up there, mate. I feel like they've stitched you up there, haven't they?
I mean, I could have done more to change it, but I just thought, fuck it, I can't be asked for the hassle. I'll just go for it.
I'll just fly back and fly back to Canada again.
It was a mistake.
I was going to say, you must have been in bits, mate.
I was dead.
No wonder you got the worst
jet lag I've ever had, man. Easily the worst I've ever had.
What's the time difference?
Is Montreal west or east? It's west, isn't it? Is it west, Canada?
In Montreal, it is now 2:22.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So for all you maths nerds out there.
That's 6 hours ahead.
Yeah.
Seven, isn't it?
Oh yeah, shit. Yeah, it is.
That's good.
Damn.
Mate, that's not our subject, is it? That's not our subject.
You're not here to talk about maths.
Not here for arithmetic.
Yeah. And then I was ill when I got back from the second trip, so I was out for the count. But I've been playing games.
What have you been playing, mate?
I have been playing Core Keeper quite a bit.
Ooh, nice.
Which was free on PlayStation Plus. It's sort of like if it's the love child of Terraria and Stardew Valley.
Whoa, that sounds a bit me.
Sort of like the top-down Stardew Valley view aspect and stuff. You've got like, it's probably an intensity somewhere in the middle of the two as well. Because there's like bosses, it's all underground. You have to farm, build a like home, grow crops.
Yeah.
You can get pets, but then you also get like minions. And every time you leave your home, like there's enemies and stuff. And then there's bosses in random spots in the map.
Right. Okay.
Really good so far. I've just sort of, I've done the first four bosses. And then you break through like this outer wall and there's lots of different biomes and stuff that you never found before. So yeah, it's really good.
Nice.
I think you would enjoy it, Josh.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a couple of screenshots of it. Definitely
it's,
got that.
It's co-op, right?
Doesn't it?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen like a bit of hype around it, like when it sort of first came out, watching some videos online of like groups playing it and stuff. And yeah, it definitely looks really fun.
Yeah, yeah, I've just been doing it solo, but it's really, really good.
Has that got like a story mode, like, or is it just sort of you just like a never ending sort of?
I think there's like a narrative between like the bosses that you're fighting and like what the core is that you're like fueling and stuff like that. But it's quite, it's not like drip. It's quite vague.
It's quite open ended.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
1 to 8 players, it says here.
Oh, sick.
On Steam, yeah. So
nice.
Mate, yeah. It was free on PlayStation Plus. So jump on. I'll invite you to my world. I'll show you around.
Yeah, I'll be
is
up for that.
Is that cross-plat?
I don't know.
Cross-play.
I don't know, actually. Could probably find it out. What else? What else have you been playing, mate?
I've also been smashing Against the Storm again. So this is a game that I played before it was fully released in beta, whatever you call it. What's it called?
Alpha?
No, like...
Early Access?
Early access. That's the one.
That's the one, isn't it? When it's early and you can access it.
But you can access early. Earlier than like what's before it's released.
What's the phrase?
Pre-game.
Pre-game.
Yeah, and it's basically a RTS survival roguelite.
I think I remember you telling me you'd played this last year at some point.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, 22, 23, I think I was playing it. And now it's like fully released. It's got loads of extra stuff in it. It's really cool. Essentially, you're dropped into a map, just looks like an RTS. You get a set amount of villagers. You start building out and you have to like farm away at the forest around you. And every so often you'll hit a glade and there'll be loads of events in the glade and stuff like that.
Nice.
Basically, you get orders from the queen and you have to like fulfill those orders. So it'll be like create this much wood or create this much, you know, porridge or, you know, all of these like different options, mate.
It's, yeah. Mining porridge.
But then every time you level up or like hit a milestone, you can choose different upgrades. So if you've got old orders for porridge, you can like lean into upgrades that are going to give you more of the ingredients for porridge, right? So that's sort of how it's a roguelite. And each run takes about an hour. And then once you've hit the satisfaction level of the queen, then you finish that and you start up a new area.
Right. Okay. That almost sounds a little bit like Black and White, where you have to expand your affluence, right, to get to the next area. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're like pleasing your population as opposed to like, that's cool.
You've got to like keep them all alive. So you've got to make sure you've got enough food, enough like supplies coming in.
Yeah, nice. Sick. Nice, man. Nice. Anything else?
Tried this new CS2 update.
What's new in CS, man? I haven't played it
new
for
skins,
so long.
New skins, baby. New maps. Not a huge amount, really.
Nah,
they've changed. They've taken sort of Train back out, put Anubis back in, changed Anubis.
What have they changed on Anubis? Just
the
layout of it?
Yeah, a little bit. So you know mid? Like on top with mid, you've got like... the walkway essentially goes over, and there's like the window gap that was halfway down.
That's
moved. It's not there anymore. It's sort of around the corner.
Oh, okay. So it's not as easy to
kill
people
means,
like down the waterway.
It essentially means that it's easier for the CTs to get there earlier. So you don't, right. You know how, like, when you play Anubis, if you're on T-side, you're pretty much guaranteed control of canals and water.
Yeah.
The CTs are never going to be able to fight that area.
That gives them a bit more,
see through that hole and
without going round on the bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
That sounds cool. Making it a bit more competitive.
Yeah, nice, man. Nice. We should have a game of CS again soon. I've still got man. I'd be fucking awful at it now. Like, I haven't played it for about 4 months.
I just jumped back in and I was so bad at it. Have you seen, like, all of the skin prices now and stuff?
Nah, they meant it all.
It's gone wild now.
Have they? Can I sell some skins? Give
me my knife back.
Sold it, mate. Sorry, I've seen the price of it. No, I will.
That's probably gone down in value, actually.
Do you think?
It hadn't when I sold it.
because they've made it so you can trade up to knives. So if you have 5 redskins, you can trade up and get a knife now. Or gloves.
Oh, right. And that was never a thing. Oh, yes. Yeah, so that's devalued knife skins.
Devalued knives and gloves, but it's increased the value of all other skins, basically.
Like, yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair. Nice. Love it, mate. Love it. Adam, what have you been playing, mate? What have you been playing?
So, what I've been playing is No Rest for the Wicked.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. It's so cool. Like,
I really thought this had been cancelled. I don't know why.
It hadn't been cancelled, but it came out about a year ago, and it's like it's still in early access.
Yeah,
it's done by like Moon Studios, who did Ori and the Blind Wisp.
Yeah.
And literally just this weekend, just gone. They just released like their latest update, which brought in co-op. So it's called No Rest of the Wicked Together, like patch.
Nice.
And it's essentially like 1 to 4 players. You can make a realm, and it's sort of like a persistent realm, so you can like just drop in and drop out. And best way to describe the game is sort of like, imagine like the camera angle sort of view of like Diablo, but it's a Souls-like, and it's got a bit of a Fable feel to it. Like there's like
nice
some like town like building and stuff that you've got like crafting. You can go out and collect like resources and stuff, and like do like smithying, like tailoring, cooking, all that sort of stuff. And it's just such a nice art style as well. It looks so good. It's not finished yet.
It looks awesome, man. I'm just looking at it now. It looks fucking so good.
You should. It's on sale at the moment. So it's like £20. So I bought it because I tried it over the weekend. I was like, I'm definitely getting this.
Yeah. It's definitely your type of game, isn't it?
Yeah, man. It's so good. And exploration is really, really cool. Just like, It's got a bit of a sort of like Metroidvania sort of feel to it, where you're like, I can't get there. And you're like, what the hell? And then like later on, you'll open up like a path and go back around and the shortcuts, like dungeons. And it's really cool. They're just like adding more and more. And they seem to be sort of like pretty focused on, keeping that going for a while. So
it looks really good, man.
It's really good. Yeah, definitely recommend it. I believe it is coming to consoles as well at some point. So I think it's going to get a PS5 and Xbox release, but it's just out on the PC at the moment. So,
oh man, it looks awesome. It looks awesome.
Sick. Yeah, really fun, and it's like the co-op works really well as well. So
is it just like jump in and out, like
jump in and out? Like you can all, like there's houses to buy like in like your town, and you can like kit them all out and stuff. You can all sort of work together to like gather resources and sort of upgrade all your buildings and stuff. So
what's the combat like?
Like Souls, it's hard.
Is it?
Like it is pretty, like you've got like, there's like, you get stats and stuff, and just think of it literally the same as like a Souls-like. So you put like more stats into like dexterity, a certain weapon scales with dexterity. And it's sort of like that, with a bit of a Diablo-like loot system. There's like random drops of gear and stuff. But yeah. Yeah, really good so far. Like, put about 18 hours into it so far, I think.
Nice, mate. Fair play.
Yeah, got a couple of, like, different realms on the go. So, yeah. Yeah, really good.
It looks really cool. Yeah, I would be very interested in trying that, I think. Yeah, I'm just looking at the screenshots here, man. The art style is amazing.
It's so good. Like,
I think I remember they announced it at like SGF a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And obviously it was by Moon Studios. And I was like, that looks like it could be really fucking good. Yeah. I don't know why I thought it got cancelled. Maybe it was because it's early access and it wasn't the full game release. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where I got that.
It's still in early access at the moment. But
yeah.
Like, yeah, they keep on releasing content for it and stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That looks awesome. Looks awesome, man. Nice. So you've just been session that?
Yeah, and I literally haven't played it yet. It's just finished downloading before we came onto this episode, which is Dynasty Warriors Origins.
Nice.
Which is like the latest one, so
you're going to give that a go for next episode.
Yeah. Next episode I'll let you know.
Love it, mate.
Like.
Nice.
Yeah. Love it.
I haven't played one of those for years.
Me neither, so I'm looking forward to it. Little Mushu game.
Yeah, hack and slash, like the ultimate hack and slash, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've been playing fuck all. I was saying to Adam before you got it on, I've just, my head spangled. I've not played video games since last Thursday.
What have you been up to?
Just fucking doing shit. just haven't had like a free evening, like to just sit and play video games since like basically last Wednesday. But it was Carly's birthday weekend and we went up to London and watched like Stranger Things theatre. And did a bit of shopping stuff, and like I've had loads of birthdays this month, so I've just
you
not
have.
Had much.
Usually, I've
yeah.
a year.
Yeah, funny. look at him.
40.
You get
36
like,
to 45.
He's like, oh, I'm back. I feel like I'm 45 after this fucking month, mate. Nah, I haven't really been playing much. I can't, other than Hades 2 and like a bit of Ark, I really haven't played much, but I feel like I've talked to death about those, so let's just have some news.
On to the news.
Battlefield Season 2 is out soon. 17th of February, apparently.
Get
delayed. But
the rumours are true.
The rumours
are... rumours?
Is it a Battlefield 4 remake?
There is a Battlefield 4 map coming to Season 2.
Which one?
Goldmud Railway. Do you remember Goldmud Railway? It's fucking massive.
It's basically
like a big field where you do battle on it. And there's a massive... six times. There's a massive railway, like bridge, like a railway bridge that runs from like one end of the map to the other.
I'm just looking at pictures.
And there's like little... towns and little villages and hamlets and stuff scattered through. It was a bit of a fan favourite, I think, from Battlefield 4. It's one of the biggest maps, I think, that they're releasing as well. Yeah. It's not the one I would have picked, but at least they're listening, sort of, and bringing... Where's Caspian Gorda? Where's Paracel Storm?
Where's Caspian Gorda?
Caspian Gorda.
You only got that one if you got premium, mate. Paracel Storm, where's that? Where's all the other ones that aren't Goldmud Railway? It'll be good. It'll be a good map. It'd be nice to have a couple more in rotation. There's another one, a brand new one coming called Contaminated, which looks like sort of like a mountain. I don't know if you remember the one from Battlefield 1, Monte Grappa, where it's just the one in Italy in the big valley and there's like a massive mountain on the side. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Mm.
It was really cool.
And yeah, I think so.
There's like a research lab on the top of this new map. And I think they're adding in some sort of like toxic gas kind of mechanic by the looks of it.
Ghouls and zombies.
Yeah. So I don't know whether you're going to have gas masks or something, or there's going to be areas of the map which are like irradiated or whatever, and you have to avoid them. I'm not sure. But little is known on that. Speaking of little, Little Bird Chopper has been teased as well, which is like the little tiny chopper with the two miniguns on it, which I'll be getting straight in. I'll be getting straight in for about 2 seconds, then I'll crash or get shot out of the sky.
Yeah, I just use choppers to transport myself across the map and then just jump out.
I don't even care if it's like really selfish to the rest of the team. I'm like, I'm going for A. So
it's so hard to evade, like, just like anti-aircraft. Like,
it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's ridiculous. But no, I'm excited, man. Like, I haven't played Battlefield for a while, and I'm looking forward to like giving the new maps a go. I don't know. There's no mention of new game modes yet, but I am definitely not done with it. And
nah, absolutely,
I'm excited.
Not.
Excited to see more of what season 2's got to offer. It's out on the 17th of February, so not long. Nice. Not long. Right, this other bit of news. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time remake cancelled as Ubisoft axes and delays multiple projects. Not great.
It's not great.
This is an article I'm going to paraphrase on GameSpot. It's written by Darren Bonthoys. I think that's how you say his surname. Sorry, Darren. It's been cancelled. It's been cancelled. Today's announcement introduces a radically new value creation model, a more gamer-centric organization structured around creative genres, relying on integrated business units with faster decentralized decision-making and a greater ability to quickly adapt to players' expectations. I think that was written by AI. Also, they've then gone on to like break down how Ubisoft are going to run in these creative houses, in inverted commas. There's five creative houses. Creative House 1, Vantage Studios. It's the only one that's got a name.
It's the only one, Vantage Studios.
The other four don't have names.
Don't have names.
Placeholders. Creative House 1. So Vantage Studios is focused on scaling and extending Ubisoft's largest and most established franchise, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry 6, Rainbow Six. Far Cry 6? Why the fuck did I say that? Far Cry,
all the
Rainbow
sixes.
Six. All the sixes.
Six.
So yeah, that's your big hitters. That's your Ubisoft, Montreal, all that stuff. All the stuff no one cares about. Creative House 2, dedicated to competitive and cooperative shooter experiences. The Division, Ghost Recon, Splinter Cell. What do you mean Splinter Cell? You haven't made Splinter Cell
game in
about
20
years,
mate. Splinter Cell game.
It might have had like a skin in a game. Like,
it's the only game anyone wants you to make as a company, and you just won't make it. But you got the audacity to stick it in the list.
Hey,
the Creative House 2's fucking project.
I'm still waiting for Beyond Good and Evil 2, which weirdly has not been cancelled. Like, that has been in like the longest development ever. Like, it got first announced in like 2006.
Don't worry, mate. Creative House 4 are in charge of Beyond Good and Evil.
Sweet.
And ironically, Prince of Persia, which has also been cancelled. So I don't think Creative House 4 have a lot of time left in them. Sadly, brands like Anno, Might and Magic and Rayman are also included in Creative House 4's dedication to immersive fantasy worlds and narrative-driven universes. So basically, Creative House 4's in charge of all the single-player cool video games, which get cancelled or go into development.
So that's like creative flat. It's not really much of a house, is it? It's more like creative bedsit.
Creative basement. Creative basement where everything just gets... But creative attic space. Just put it in there.
Forget about it.
No one will remember. We'll just leave it in there for ages. It's fine.
Yeah.
Creative House 3, going back on myself, designed to operate a roster of select sharp live service experiences. For Honor. Who plays For Honor anymore? The Crew, Riders Republic, Brawlhalla, and Skull and Bones, the first quadruple A video game.
That's mad that that's not in Creative House 1.
Yeah, mental, isn't it?
It's a quadruple A.
That's a self-professed quadruple A video game.
Quadruple.
Yeah.
Skull and Bones was like the biggest disappointment ever. Like,
don't forget about For Honor as well. Came out about 15 years ago and it's got about five players on the servers now. Have that in Creative House 3.
I wonder what the For Honor player count is.
Have a look, mate. Creative House 5, focused on reclaiming a position in casual and family-friendly games. Just Dance, Idle Miner Tycoon, Ketchup, Hungry Shark, Invincible, Guarding the Globe, Uno, and Hasbro. I think we can. That's mobile, isn't it? That's mobile games.
6,000 players in the last 24 hours at the peak.
Brilliant. How have they had the cheek to do that? They've had the cheek to go, oh, yeah, Creative House 3 is in charge of For Honor, Skull and Bones, and Riders Republic. It's like, I don't want to work for Creative House 3, mate, if I'm honest. Like, Splinter Cell, never coming out. Prince Persia got cancelled 10 minutes ago. Beyond Good and Evil has been in development for 25 years. Forget it. Like, you could lose half of these IPs and just focus on making, like, four games.
They've probably got to be making the Black Flag re-rank, right? Like, that's been massively, like...
Creative House 1.
Do you know what I mean? Probably. It's just like, just fucking make a new IP. Like, you've got so much... They've got to be one of the wealthiest publishers on the planet. And, like, all they do is just make Assassin's Creed and Far Cry. And then, like, these throwaway titles that no one plays. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone wants a Splinter Cell game. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a market I would love a Splinter Cell game. But that, what I'm saying is there's a market for a stealth third-person shooter. Do you know what I mean?
Is there, though?
Yeah. There's no Metal Gear at the moment, is there? Like, they're remaking the old ones. There's no new Metal Gear. There's nothing that does, like...
Hitman.
Stealth gameplay. Yeah.
Hitman.
You know. Yeah, but it's like...
The new Indiana Jones game.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's not even a shooter, the new Indiana Jones game, is it?
It's a whipper.
But yeah, that just pissed me off, that article. Nothing on Darren Bonthoys. He's just doing his job. But yeah, just a bit dumb with Ubisoft,
don't
mate.
Shoot the
bit
messenger.
Dumb with Ubisoft. No. So I know we don't normally, you know, have a go in that, but I wanted to put that in there because
Ubisoft has been the punching bag on this podcast before.
Yeah. I think that's the knockout blow, mate. That Creative House 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Get it. Right, ball pit update. What's
ball
this?
Ball pit update. There is a ball pit update, baby.
Go on.
New characters.
Oh, here we go. Falconer. Is this a free update?
Yes. Oh, yes. Get it. Falconer, new character who fires off two balls, launches a pair of birds flanking the screen that also shoot balls in.
That sounds amazing.
Carasur, a medieval royal troublemaker who twists ball trajectories with a personal gravity field, pulling shots off of their usual path.
That sounds fucking brilliant.
8 new powerful balls, including fireworks, stone ball, and the landslide.
Brilliant. I love it already.
New passives, Deadeye's Impaler, Grotesque Artillery, Iron Onesie, and... Endless mode.
Oh, sick.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. That's sick. So that's just like a high score mode, is it, basically?
Yeah, basically.
Awesome.
It looks fucking sick. However, me and Amelia downloaded it on the Switch to try and play it on hers. And the problem if you're playing this on Switch is it just crashes at the end game.
Yeah.
It just cannot handle it.
Really?
Yeah, it's like it's just unplayable really on Switch at the moment.
I just think that's mad. Is that when there's like loads of balls flying everywhere and loads of power ups and loads of enemies on screen?
You just can't handle it.
Oh my god, that's so sad, isn't it? I wonder if they'll release a patch for that though, because it was bad on the Switch too. And then about 2 days after I started playing it, they released a patch for it.
Yeah, I wonder whether it's way better. The Switch.
Like, yeah.
Just the original Switch not being powerful enough.
That's a shame.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Probably right.
Yeah, I don't know. But it looks really good and can't wait to play it on PlayStation.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Thank you. That is actually
a free
genuine
update as well. Love a free update.
Yeah. That game seems like the studio seem like the type of people to put like updates like that out for free. Do you know what I mean? I can't see them doing like paid DLC very often. So I like that. Oh, mate, when's that out? Is there a release date for it? Is it out already?
It's out now.
Oh, my God. Yeah, maybe you literally just said you downloaded it. Sorry.
I actually think it came out yesterday. So
amazing. 26th. Nice. Oh, excellent stuff. There we go. That's a reason to re-download, isn't it? Did they add a new level in? Or is it just endless mode?
I was a bit disappointed to not see a new level. But...
Yeah.
I guess that'll be coming. There's another two planned ones. I think this was like one of three. So I'm sure there will be like
they'll add a couple more levels. Or hard as fuck levels in, won't they?
Yeah.
Some new buildings and stuff for your village and that. Awesome. Definitely. Awesome. Right, let's have a little chat about AI and video games.
Mm.
Have a little chat about this because it's been going about, hasn't it?
It's a hot topic at the moment.
It is a hot topic. I don't really have any sort of questions for this. I just kind of wanted to get your general thoughts on it, really. So, where do you see AI? Or how do you see AI being implemented into video games as time goes on?
Well, it's a good question because there's sort of like a few ways that it can be implemented. And I think some of them are far more egregious or intrusive than others, right?
Yeah.
Because you've got, there's tons of articles out there you can read. I've read a few of like quite high profile developers who've talked about what they think about AI and stuff. But you've got like, there's what nobody wants to see, right? Which is the shovelware shit, the AI flop that gets created. People are just pumping in a game out through AI, not doing anything with it and just chucking it out onto the store, selling it, whatever. And that isn't AI's fault because that existed before AI. AI has just given people
it's just enabled the access so much more easily and
so much faster. But like you had fucking Jumpin' Taco and shit on the PlayStation store before AI. They just already existed. And actually AI has been the catalyst for, because Sony actually removed shitloads of them the other day, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So at least someone made that though. Do you know what I mean? Back in the day.
I mean, it's the same, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
That's what nobody wants to see. But then you also have like more back end AI implementation and things like training NPC behaviors on AI models, right? Or like the amount that it can increase prototyping speeds and just creating like the base idea for a game. Like, all right, this is like a theory of what I want to do in my game. Does it work? Use AI, test it out. Cool, it does work. Or, you know, like just putting placeholder assets in to give you like just shit like that, which, I mean, yeah, you can argue that there's impact on other industries, asset creators and people like that, you know.
Yeah, it's someone's job, isn't it, eventually?
Like that, there's always going to be downstream impact of AI's implementation. But I think there's very... drastic degrees in what's good AI and what's bad AI. I don't think you can come down on a definitive answer. Like, it's not good or bad. It's going to be in some cases very good, in some cases very bad.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, especially about the shovelware thing, because I think you'll start seeing that loads in like mobile games in particular. Like, you know, like the longer it goes on, the fucking ads
on mobile games. Like,
oh god,
how many versions of that game are there where it's just that like character at the bottom of the screen shooting a gun
and like,
oh, now I've got five people. Oh, I've got to get the machine gun.
Yeah.
How many versions of that fucking game exist?
Yeah, literally, it's so true though.
I sort of think I'm with you, Con, on like those sorts of things, like for AI to be like used within games. Like, for instance, like you got stuff that could help with like quality and like testing, like where you could get like 1,000 AI bots or something like that, and like they could be like running simulations and stuff, like tons of scenarios, and like that's going to spot something that maybe like a human tester would like could have missed potentially.
Imagine like there's like the famous comment of like someone saying, oh, how could this game have been released for so many years? like say it's Fallout, like how can this game have been released for so many years and nobody found this bug? And it's like, that's because like you've got to this point in the game, in this specific location.
It's all the variables.
With these specific items in your bag, like with these specific stats. But then you could just use AI to run those simulations in the game.
Absolutely.
And like, just do this at every variation, with every level, at every stat, like, and you could clear up a lot of that stuff. But you couldn't feasibly do that with humans.
No. That would take, like, you may never find it with humans.
We need 40,000 game testers to test the new Fallout game.
Well, that's the thing with it, isn't it? It's like the line of like money. Do you know what I mean? Like, at what point does it become cheaper? Because let's face it, like, as much as we love video games, like, it's still the fastest growing, you know, medium. Like in the modern era, in the 21st century, if you want, and like at the end of the day, like, they are made to make money. Do you know what I mean? Like. Yeah. Effectively, that's the business model, but which is fine, you know. We as consumers, like, it's a hobby, isn't it? Like,
that last example isn't replacing somebody's job. If you were to use AI to,
it might do. Well, if you're QC in the game, like,
right?
You're effectively losing QCs.
It would potentially remove the QC job, but. It's not like you were actually going to hire enough people to QC the game to the extent that you would in AI, right? If we did that last scenario where you're running that simulator, like, they're not actually going to hire thousands of QC.
No, of course they're not. No. But I think that's quite sad in a way, because QC is like quite often an entry-level role. It's like a video game studio. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but it's almost like an internship where you QC for a couple of years, learn the ropes, and then you start your career. And like,
do you not think it would be used alongside though?
You're still gonna have
human like element to it, because they're gonna want you real humans trust to play the game.
You can't fully trust
an AI just to be like, play my game and just give me the results and then let's bang it out.
That's not gonna happen.
I think you would still need human reviewers and QCers to test what the AI is out.
Yeah.
Well, there's also like AI can't contextualize, and it doesn't have the nuances that like a human
also
would have
AI
when it plays
doesn't,
a game.
AI doesn't do the stupid shit I do in video games. Do you know
and
what
it's
I mean?
Not, like, it's even it's even stuff
AI's
like
not
gonna flicking
shoot
between
you
the
with
menus.
Every explosive barrel that you go near.
It might do.
You're playing with an AI that just replicates playing with me.
Yeah, just perpetually tries to environmentally kill your teammate all the time. Yeah, I think it's like you're going to see so much of it on mobile, like over the next like couple of years. Oh, dog's kicking off.
Oh dear.
I just think I don't know if there's going to be regulations on the App Store or something like this, or like, because you can see AI shovelware just getting like fucking dumped onto the App Store for like 99p. Oh, look at this game. And then like a 12-year-old sees it on their iPad and is like, oh yeah, get that. And then, do you know what I mean? Before it's taken down, someone's made their money and fucked off. Like, you are going to see that a lot. I think in terms of like its usage then for video games, like, obviously, there was the stuff of Clair Obscur. I did a bit of digging, and I didn't realize that actually Ark Raiders uses AI.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
All its dialogue is AI, which I had no idea. And like, so what are your thoughts on using it in that context? You know, like, if it's
moderated and like checked and stuff, I think it's absolutely fine if it's going to help, like.
So let's say they use
like
AI.
Like the human element, so they can focus on the other things that take more attention. It's just like, right, we can get AI to do this job because this is going to take X amount of hours.
Well, it's going to cost X amount of money to get voice actors in, things like that.
Yeah, definitely. And then it's just like we can like focus more of our resources on this this part of the game as opposed to, yeah, just like dumping a load of money and extra time into something which AI could essentially just do.
And I think it completely depends on the game as well, if that makes sense. So Ark Raiders, I think, fine. I, in a weird way, if I found out that Ghost of Yote, for example, was all done with AI voice acting, that would really take away from the experience for me. Do you know what I mean? As a as a narrative, story-driven
game. It's weird, though.
How,
where do you come down on that line, though?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. It's hard, isn't it? Because I think it's almost dependent on the game. Like, if Destiny, for example, which has kind of got, like, you know, the hub world, and it's this sort of, like, looter shooter, which is similar to Ark Raiders in a sense, that would feel weird if it had AI voiceovers in it. Do you know what I mean? The line's really, really blurry.
Maybe Destiny, because the story in Destiny, let me tell you, maybe not the greatest comparison.
But you know what I mean? Like, those sorts of comparisons, it's like, where does it's a really blurry line, I think. And
yeah,
I think from a cutthroat business perspective, I think your studios are going to be like, well, to be honest, like, yes, we used AI voiceovers, but with the extra funds, we've now managed to polish and add this whole new section to our game, which has made the game better and not taken away from it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What, like, how do you guys think about it?
Yeah, so what was it that, like, because I know you mentioned about Clair Obscur, what was it that they actually added? I know they got...
It was generative AI for, like, assets and things like that. So I think it was mainly background environmental assets. So it wasn't like creature design, you know, like main characters, like these sorts of things. It was background textures and environments, things like that, you know, like
but that
trees
is a story
like
driven
that.
Narrative. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a problem with that. If it's, like, moderated and you checked it. I mean, Clair Obscur is fucking amazing. It won Game of the Year. I mean, I think it was only revoked. Was it the Indie Game Awards? Which I think is, like...
They gave it Silksong, I think, did they? Give it Silksong?
I think they give it to Blueprints.
Or Blueprints, yeah.
You got it in the end, because I think it's, like, strictly prohibited any form of, like, AI use in that award ceremony, so...
I wonder why that is strictly prohibited.
Maybe because it's like meant to be like an indie sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like small teams, it's obviously quite expensive to use a lot of AI sort of.
What about if it comes out that one of the devs who worked on Blueprints was actually using AI to help him code outside of the engine? That's technically use of AI in that project.
But I think, like, then that, to me, that detracts from the core of the game, because what makes that game so special is that it was developed by, like, two people, right? Do you know what I mean? And the way that game's put together,
Allowed to use AI.
No, I'm not saying they're not allowed to use it, but
do you reckon they use ChatGTP?
GTP? I've never heard of it.
Fucking. Well, when you go back to Canada, mate.
ChatGPT.
Again,
ChatPT.
PTG.
You know what I mean?
I'm getting fucking PTSD, mate, on this.
Oh, Christ.
It depends on how they're using it. Like if they've got fucking AI to develop the entire game, it's like, yeah, get fucked. Do you know what I mean? But if they've, like, we got AI to generate some assets on the wall, some paintings on the wall that procedurally generate every run you do.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, fine, that's fine. That doesn't...
Yeah, that's absolutely
that adds,
fine.
That takes nothing away from the experience of the game, right? So, yeah, that's the line. That's the weird line, do you know what I mean? Which can be easily crossed or easily not crossed.
It's vague. Oh, well, we're in a weird time with it as well, right? Unless... I mean,
one thing
like,
don't like, it's fucking skyrocketed the price of all fucking PC components. Have you seen the price of like graphics cards and RAM now? Oh my God. Like some companies have just straight up come out and said they're not even going to sell to like the consumer anymore. Like it, literally just straight to like businesses and stuff. It's, which I think... Yeah, it's not great.
It's fucking it's mental. Not great. I'm just looking at Amazon. So two sticks of 32 gig DDR5 is £608. That's fucking mental. It's like the
mate,
cost
a couple
of
months
a
ago, that would have probably been about what,
200 quid,
300?
Probably.
Yeah, 250 quid.
Yeah. And that's like a decent crucial set. But that is fucking mental. That is absolutely fucking mental.
Yeah. And well, the other thing is like the, I was reading an article the other day about someone saying, you know, we actually have to prove that AI is worth using because we're basically running headfirst into like the social and ecological responsibility of using AI, right? And it's like there's going to be a social pressure at some point of being like, well, we actually have to show value in what we're using AI for, otherwise we can't use it.
Not just 10 second little fucking reels like you sent me last night.
Oh mate, I know,
cat coming into a bedroom on a fucking unicycle playing a guitar. It's just like
it's the most stupid shit you've ever seen, isn't it?
It's just probably like use like a swimming pool's worth of water to make that little video.
Yeah,
like,
it's like
yeah, I completely agree. You can't like like what are we getting out of AI and how is it benefiting us?
We've got on without it, I think.
Oh yeah,
we've got on without it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just fucking bin it off. I'm not arse with it, to be honest. Honestly, I'm not arse
with
it.
I think it'll come full circle though. Like right now, it's like the buzz. It's like AI. This, like, we use AI and like these aspects and stuff. But I think it will go full circle and be like, our product is completely human made. AI free. Like. Just handcrafted by
artisan.
Humans. Bespoke artisan games.
Yeah. Includes no traces of AI.
That's like probably what people were saying when machinery was first being built. And people like, one day they're going to have bakeries that say artisan bakery on it. Yeah. They're all handmade.
And here we are.
We've got an artisan down
the
road.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the local, isn't it, mate? In East Counts, Fucking beast. Good little eat of that, mate.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I think we'll keep a close eye on on where that goes. And see what happens.
We'll be living ARC Raiders in the next 10 years.
Keep a close AI.
Yeah, we got will.
Real life ARC Raiders.
Real life ARC just flying over. Fucking Rocketeers blowing me ass up. Right, let's have a little February preview then. So we've changed this up.
Bosh.
We're just going to pick one game each now. Wow. Because three's mental, isn't it? It's 9, 10, 11 games.
It was too many.
Yeah, it was too many.
You're not listening to all of that.
No one's listening to all of that. I'm going to go first because it's pretty obvious what I'm going to pick. On the 27th of February, out on PC, PS5, Series X and S, developed by Capcom, is Resident Evil Requiem.
Woo!
I can't fucking wait for this game. I can't fucking wait. It looks amazing. That's all I'm going to say on it.
Yeah, I can't wait for that either.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it day one and I'm going to chew your ear off about it when I get it. So that's it.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'll go next.
It's a AAA game. It's going to sell like 5 million. I don't need to big it out.
Yeah. You don't need to tell anyone what Resident Evil is.
Nah.
Yeah.
Slightly less well known. On the 16th of February, coming out on PC. Get it on Steam. 16th of February by Space Goblin Studio. It's Astro Botanica.
Sounds like a city builder or something like that.
Mate, it is like a survival. It's got a little bit of the fucking Subnautica about it. It's a survival game. You're an alien who has landed on prehistoric Earth and you've got to study the humans and survive.
Yeah.
So you like following around like cavemen, and you've got like your little alien gadgets, and you've got like scan the vegetables.
Oh, it does look like Subnautica, doesn't it?
It does look like, even graphically, it looks a bit Subnautica.
Yeah.
It looks really fun. Yeah. Base building, crafting, animal taming, puzzle solving, exploring prehistoric Earth. As an alien botanist.
This looks cool. Yeah, this looks cool, man.
Can't wait for that.
Art style looks lovely. Yeah. Is that co-op, do you know? Is that going to be co-op?
Don't think so. I think it's just single player at the moment. But...
Nice. That's a belter, mate. Did not know that was coming out. I like that. It's going on my wish list.
Yeah. Well, it's going into early access, actually, on 16th of February.
So. Nice. Well, there's a demo available as well now for anyone that wants to try that. Nice. Awesome. Love that. Adam, what you got, mate?
So I have got Dragon Quest VII Reimagined, which is out on the 5th of February on all major platforms. So it's like Switch 2, PlayStation, Xbox, PC. There's a demo out now, which you can play. Carries your save over as well. And this is like a remake from like the ground up, really, of... Number 7, which came out on the DS quite a while ago, and like it is quite well loved, but it was in due need of like an update, really, because there was it was quite a big slog, the game, like, right, as JRPGs go. Like I mean I played it a long time ago, and honestly it takes about 3 hours until you get to your first battle.
What?
There's
3 hours.
Like a lot of, honestly, it's a big game, and it really just needed like obviously they've been doing a lot of the Dragon Quest games recently being remade in that sort of 2.5 like HD
or like that though
style, but this one is actually like fully 3D like models. It's like handcrafted, like diorama style aesthetic, where they actually use like real figurines and then like scan them in to make the models.
Oh,
and they sort of like streamline the story a bit, trim down some of the fat, like overhauled like the battle system, and yeah, just looks looks really nice. I mean, I'll probably get it for the Switch, I imagine, at some point. It looks like that sort of like cozy little game.
Defo a Switch game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love it, mate. Love it.
So yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, 3 lovely little games. Got a little remake, got a AAA Resi game, and a nice little indie. It's fucking
lovely.
I think we've all hit our like criteria there, haven't we, individually? Like with our picks.
Yes.
I thought Connor
was
actually
going to... I knew you were picking
Resi.
It's got to be done.
Well, I actually thought you might have picked Reanimal.
Do you know what? It was my honourable mention was Reanimal. Which is the game that looks like Little Nightmares, but isn't developed by the same developers. That looks very good. Yeah. That looks very good.
I'm surprised Con didn't pick a deck building roguelite.
Yeah. Because God knows we need more of those. Connell needs them.
Talking of deck building, I have just finished building my Melania Blade of Mikula Magic the Gathering deck.
Is that Elden Ring? Magic?
Nah, my sister got me a
cheating.
It's like I find it online. What do you call it?
Like a fan deck or something like it? Yeah, proxy.
Nah,
yeah.
I know. I think I know what you get. Like you mean it's a card that is actually in Magic, but then they've just done the artwork.
Somebody's done an artwork of Melania on an existing Magic card.
Right. Yes. Okay.
So it's actually Najeela the Blade Blossom. Right. They've redone it as Melania Blade of Mikula.
Love that.
Fits thematically, doesn't it?
Very cool.
Yeah. So, and in the deck as well, it's got some Final Fantasy heroes.
Ooh. Nice. Yeah.
Some Final Fantasy 9 ones?
No, Final Fantasy 10.
It's 10. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's a warrior-based deck. There wasn't any warrior cards in 9.
Oh, fair.
Nah,
fair.
Not really.
Nice.
Steiner.
Vivi is, he's a soldier, I think. Vivi is the most powerful card in the set.
Have you got Tidus?
No, I don't mean he's a soldier. I mean like in the you know, like on the magic cards, soldier, the class.
Ah, sorry. Says, sorry. Fucking yeah, warrior. Sorry. No,
I wasn't like pedantically correct.
You like, he's a soldier.
God damn it!
On the magic.
Yeah, no, I get you now. I get you now. Sorry.
Who have you got from Final Fantasy X? You got to have what's his chops, mate, with a big old sword, fucking Aaron or whatever his name is.
Auron.
Yeah.
With his little limp hand.
Auron, mate, with his little cast. And he's just like,
who have I got?
You haven't got Tidus in there, mate.
No, because it's really limited what you can choose from the warrior ones, right? I've got Ardbert, Warrior of Darkness.
Who the fuck's Ardbert?
Who the hell?
I've got...
Is that a 10-2 character, do you reckon?
Ardbert. I don't know. You look up who it is.
Ardbert.
Literally never.
Is he called Bert, but he's just really hard?
He's a member of, like, he's a member of one of the Blitz Sphere game, like, teams.
Ardbert.
Probably.
Oh, he's a character from Final Fantasy 14. He's got a big old axe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who else have I got? NPC, I've got two of the, I have got two of the others from the Blitzball team.
Oh.
What's the blonde guy called?
Tidus.
Wacker.
Yes, Wacker.
Wacker.
He's like, yo, man, I got to play Blitzball. I'm the worst character in the game.
He throws his fucking ball at you. It's like, you're absolutely awful, mate. Get out of my party.
Little Sabutio.
Yeah. Just all he does, he just throws the ball at you. It does like 10 damage. It's like...
Yeah.
Nice. All right, what you got out this week, Com? Had a little thing, didn't you?
I fixed it.
Nice.
Do you know what it was?
No.
They have changed it so if you've got ad block on, you can't use any of the widgets on YouTube. It took me fucking ages to realise that. So yeah, I'm putting out a Counter-Strike video called Casual Strike 2. It's mostly us just pissing about, but there's some good Zeus's on our friend Charlie in there.
Excellent. Nice. Awesome. Right. Fuck. Socials, isn't it? I can't remember how to end it. My head's so fried.
That's it.
Right, see you later then. Yeah. heythereflect@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. Heytheyreflect on Instagram and Blue Sky. Get in touch. Let us know what your February preview is. Probably Resident Evil is the correct choice because it's going to be fucking amazing. Right, that'll do. That'll fucking do. I've had enough. See you later, everyone.
Farewell, Albert.
See you later, mate.
Sorry.
You're going to have to do that again.
Nah, it's been a while.
Huh?